Gio, had you worked out the men's prerequisites yet, or are you still working on it?
Okay.
Okay. Be praying for Gio. He's trying to get together a men's prayer breakfast. And again, this is a new year, so I want to encourage you, even the women, to get back to praying and get back to having fellowship. And a lot of time when we have a fellowship, we want to have a little food or a little breakfast. So whatever God put on your heart, we want to get busy this new year. Amen?
Amen.
I want to give a shout out again to all the helpers for our watch night. Those of you all that were here or were not here, we had a great time, had a movie, testimony, the word of God, and the food, and the fellowship. It was great, wasn't it?
Amen.
So praise the Lord. And like I said earlier, the last Sunday of 2019 was in the house of God.
Amen.
And now here's the first Sunday of 2020, we're in the house of God. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Now, most of you might not want to, you know, me to say it, but there was a time when I wasn't in the house of God. There was a BC time when I was at the world. So look, I'm so grateful now that I'm saved now and I'm in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Today, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I don't want anyone to leave here today saying that they can't live in 2020 for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Like I said, last night we was at a banquet and the host of the party got up and said, "You need to know the Lord." Amen? So I want people to know that, and a lot of people say, "Oh, this Christian life can't be lived." Let me tell you, if it couldn't be lived, he wouldn't have gave it to us. He gave us a life, and he gave us all the ammunition to live this Christian life. Amen? So we're going to talk about today, what gets you motivated? What gets you excited? What moves you? What ticks you? You know, a lot of time I told you when I go to the barbershop, they talk about sports, and that's a good thing. They talk about cars. I know Jerry's in the car fishing. But I like to talk about the Lord, amen? I was there one day and a guy was talking politics and I said, "Hold on a minute." I said, you know, and he was talking about, you know, people in Atlanta making all the money. And I said, "Look, let me tell you something. Money ain't the answer." And he said, "Well, how about all the education?" I said, "That ain't the answer." I said, just like Atlanta or whatever, they got a big crime problem. They got a big drug problem. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I say, they need to be talking about Jesus. And you know, you don't want to say that in a barbershop. And so he said, "Well, tell me some more about Jesus." And I said, "Well, this is not the platform now. I can talk to you outside, just me and you." Because you got to deal with one. See, when you start talking about Jesus, you'll get a lot of controversy with everybody else. Get on out here, preacher. We don't need to talk. This is a barbershop. You don't need to talk about. But I'm saying, we need to tell people about Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
But here's the problem, folks. And I'm getting to the message today. We as Christians have got now where we want to fit in with everything. You can't fit in with everything. We got Christians now that we want to be accepted by people. You can't be accepted by everybody. We got Christians now who don't want to be different. They want to be like everybody else. Let me tell you, you can't be like everybody else. We got Christians now, they don't care what the cost is. Well, just get along and just drop the doctrine and just love everybody. I'm here to tell you, love. So if you're a Christian just like Jesus, you're going to have to stand out.
Amen.
Now, again, he said he called us a peculiar people. Now, that don't mean that you got to be strange. You know, I know, you know, all around hollering Jesus carrying a big sign. No. You can be Christ-like and you can be what I call people know you Christ. Amen. So we're going to talk about how to be godly in 2020. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, verse 17. And you all know this verse, but this is going to be the verse we're going to preach on this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. There's a godly process that we need to go through. And this new year, I want to talk to you about how we can live this Christian life. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Read that with me on 3, 1, 2, 3. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new." Now, I know this is a new year. And I know this is 2020. A lot of us didn't know we'd be here 2020. And we say, well, old things are passed away. But I want to talk to you this morning about it. It's a new year. You're a new creature. Now there'll be some new things for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the funny thing about it is that even though it's a new year and it's a new creature, we still got the same old God. See, God don't change. He's immutable. See, we're the one that changed. So we're going to talk to you this year how you can live a Christian life. We're in a crisis in America. Nobody wants to be identified as Christian. They want to take Christ out like they don't do it with a Christmas. They want to take Christ out. But I want to tell you, I'm a Christian and I'm proud to be a Christian. Amen? So we're going to talk about a new year, a new creature, but the same old God. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for waking up today. Just sung this song. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. Thank you for waking us up this morning, giving us a mind to be in the house of the Lord. I think I heard one say that some people didn't wake up this morning. So I'm glad to be up this morning and in the house of the Lord. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson. We saw you call a publican named Levi, changed his name to Matthew, and he followed you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for our testimonies that we heard, different testimonies, and the time have you carried us throughout the whole year 2019. Thank you for our song service, Lord. Thank you for our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for Brother Wayne opening us up in a corporate prayer this morning, Lord. Thank you for, again, a time of our reading, our covenant reading, our fellowship song, Lord. Thank you again for the announcement by my wife, Lord, and the offering by Gio, and then the last song by the praise team. But now, Lord, it's time for the preaching of the word of God. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my sins, that you help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Hide me behind the cross. Use me for a little while to preach and teach the unadulterated, infallible, inspired word of God. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
A new year. You know, usually in a new year, people make new year resolutions. You know that. New commitments and so forth. And again, I'm not against resolution, but I'm saying you need to make sure that you're doing it for the Lord. Amen? The number one resolution for the last 10 years has been lose weight. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to exercise. I'm not going to eat as much. And then you go to the doctor. And let me just encourage you all, especially you Afro-Americans. I was just talking to my sister or something. Have an annual physical examination.
Amen.
I was at a place and I told you about this girl, and she was getting a mammogram. Found out she had cancer. And she had been going to the doctor. So let me just tell you, especially men, and I hear this all the time, not just black, and I hear this from white ladies, that my husband won't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor and take a physical. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, let me preach a little bit on this. Let me tell you, they need to take your blood pressure. They need to take your blood. They need to check all these things, you know, for prostate. They need to check for cancer. And I'm just saying this is, and y'all nurses know what I'm talking about. This need to be done. Amen?
Amen.
I go to the doctor every year. Now, this is what used to happen, man. I'm going to just preach on myself so y'all can understand. The doctor say, what do you do for exercise? Are you walking? You know the doctor always said, are you getting exercise? And I always start out, well, Mildred, you know, on Tuesday, I'm going to go to the park and I'm going to walk around. That don't last no time. but again, we ought to make resolutions or doing things, okay? Amen? Now, let me help y'all with some good ones. Some people say, I'm going to stop smoking. Now, let me just tell you, now, smoking is hazardous to your health. They got on the package, hazard to your health. So you ought to stop smoking. But people still smoke, but they ought to stop smoking. Amen?
Amen?
My wife already mentioned about stop being negative. Stop being mean. You know, Christians ought to be the nicest people. But you know, some of the meanest people are Christians. Mean! How you going to tell? I was at a missionary camp. And I walked up to this, and just happened to be a guy I know. I said, you still Jerry. I'm still mean as a snake. A Christian, you don't need to be mean. We ought to have the joy of the Lord. Amen? And we ought to learn how to not let things get us down or always. Now, some people, now, Charles Stanley said this, and I understand what he was saying. He said, well, I grew up in a situation and I had to build a defense mechanism. He said, so a lot of time when a person come at me, I'm defensive. I don't mean to be, but I grew up like that. And so some people are like that. So you have to give them time to what I call it is to relax and calm down. Because they always think, somebody tried to get after me. Nobody tried to get you. Somebody tried to do me. Nobody tried to get you down. It's just that they're so used to that. Amen? Stop drinking. Stop smoking. Lose weight. Let me give you a few ones. Stop being on your cell phone. Oh, don't preach now, preacher. I'm on my cell phone the whole time the service is going on to watch. Now, he's been on his playing video game. I'm going to stop playing. Let me tell you, you need to make a resolution. Stop being on your phone all night. 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, let me preach a little bit. Let me preach a little bit. Video game. Talking all the time. All night long. And then get up and say, I'm tired. You ought to be tired. You've been on your video game to 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen, somebody. Cell phone, video games, and all this, texting and all this. You know, people always have these certain chimes when you're at places. You know, we sitting in a place and it's just quiet, and we hit the ding. I said, what in the world was that? That's somebody texting, went off, you know, texting. But let me help you out. This year, 2020, you can make a resolution. I'm going to read through the whole Bible. Whoa, somebody. I'm going to read the Bible this year. I'm going to pray this year. I'm going to be more faithful to the house of God this year. I'm going to be more trustworthy. We ought to make those resolutions. Amen? So these are resolutions that we can make. I was telling you about statistics say that within 3 months, people make resolutions on January the 1st. Before February 1st come here, they already quit. And by the way, let me help you out. For those of you all that read your Bible, now I understand it because when I first got saved, I said, I'm going to read the Bible through. You got to persevere. Because if you miss a day, then you're a day behind. And then if you miss 2 days, then you're 2 days behind. And then what you have, I'm through now. No. Go. What I usually do is, I usually say, now I'm about 4 days behind, so I'm going to take some time, make some time, sit down and read 4 chapters straight and catch back up. Amen? So you can do it. You can do it. And what I've learned is I got a one-year Bible. I'm going to just help y'all out. I read a little the old, a little the new, a little psalm and a proverb every day. And so every day I read through the Bible. And by the way, I've been reading through the Bible for the last 25 years. So that's a blessing, amen? And by the way, I'm just telling this is for my own soul. This is not me preparing a message. This is not me studying. This is just my devotion. And let me help you out. Usually, let me just not say usually, the very thing that I need help on, I turn right to the Bible and it'll speak to what I'm going through right there. And I say, isn't that amazing? I was just thinking about that. And God spoke to me in his word. So read through the Bible every year. Amen? But again, we leave God out and we start out and we quit. But if you can remember this, Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ which strengthens me. The word can't, mark out of your vocabulary. When people say, you can't do that, you say, no, I can. I can because I have the Lord on my side. And by the way, there's always some naysayers out there. Y'all ever got the naysayers be on you? Matter of fact, I was, again, talking to the guy last night, and I said, well, you know, we planted a church in 2015, and here it is 5 years later. Because God did it. Amen? So we want to give God. So don't say what you can't do. Say, like James say, it's the Lord will that I go for. It's the Lord will. Matter of fact, the lady last night that retired, she was 69 years old, and her husband said he thought she's going to work another year. Well, he said this, and I just said to you all, y'all heard it. He said, some people can't retire because they can't afford the insurance, so the husband have to work till they're 85 and the wife, he said, but it was the Lord's will that me and my wife can retire. Isn't that a blessing? Brother Jennings said him and his wife have started having devotion. Let me tell you, if the Lord will, we need to give him the credit. He's worthy to be praised. Amen? Christ strengthens us. Paul was talking about, I've learned, here it is, how to be content. Let me preach to you a minute. I learned when I don't have nothing to be all happy, and when I have abundant to be happy. I've learned when I got money in the bank to be happy, and when I ain't got nothing in the bank to be happy. I learned when the refrigerator's full, and when there ain't nothing in there, I'm happy. Amen. I learned how to eat the beanie weenies when I got beanie weenies, or eat the steak when I got steak. See, you need to learn how to be content in all things. You need to learn. See, the problem is we want everything all the time. We want the prosperity, like she said. We want to be wealthy. Let me tell you, it ain't always like that. We need to learn how to do it. So this year, learn how to be content. Paul said, I learned how to do all that. Learn how to be. Now, some people think God is a Santa Claus. Oh, let me preach a little bit. Some people think God is a genie in a bottle. Let me tell you, God is not like that, okay? God is somebody that will give you your needs and meet you. He ain't nobody you can ask for three wishes and he threw. He's not like that, okay? So we need, this year, we need to trust God in the new year. Amen? 3 points. A new me, creation. The reason that I'm new is because I'm an ambassador for Christ. Paul said like this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador was somebody that went to a foreign country, but he represents somebody else. I'm here to tell you, look, this is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a Hebrew. Let me tell you, my home is in heaven. I have my gold car. You know, they always talk about green car. I got a gold car that my home is in heaven. Jesus Christ is preparing the place. Matter of fact, he's been preparing it for over 2,000 years. So guess what? It's a new me, a new creation. I can do all things. Now, this is what get me is, you have somewhat they call fans that are fanatic. You got NFL and NBA fans and college fans. They'll go out in the ball game in the snow. They'll be in the stand freezing. Are y'all with me? They'll go in the rain, in the sleet. They won't come to church. Let me tell you, if you're going to be a fanatic for Jesus. If you're going to be a fanatic, be somebody for Jesus. You know, we was at the, again, last night, we was at the thing, he's talking about, well, you know, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. And I know what he was saying because he lives in Baltimore and we lived out there. And he was saying, you know, because they got that HBC quarterback Lamar Jackson breaking all right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he was saying, let me tell you, I love football and I even watched the Alabama game and I watched Tennessee game, but I love Jesus more. And I'm not going to miss church for the ball game. And I'm not going to go to the ball game on a Sunday. And I'm going to praise God because he's worthy to be praised. I'm not going to put anything before God because I don't care what you say. Sports have become an idol in America. Amen. God told me the other day, said, man, my son was playing. Well, y'all told you about the preacher's son. He said, my son made the basketball team in middle school. He said, but they play on Sunday. He said, and then the coach going to tell me, well, I just take him, you can go on to church. He said, no, my whole family go to church. You ain't taking my son to no ball game. And then I told y'all the story. Children don't quite get it all. So then the son got down like, well, daddy, I made the team. You won't even let me play. He said, son, let me explain something to you. America has taken God's day out of context. He said, you might not get it now because you're only 14 or 15, but we're going to praise God on Sunday. Oh, y'all don't mean to preach this morning, do you? We can't put the sports world ahead of God. My daughter was the first, I said it last night when I was talking to these people, went to Chattanooga Christian. I said, my daughter was the first Afro-American Goldie on the soccer team at Chattanooga Christian. And my daughter was on the select team where they go around the country and play soccer. But I didn't want her to play on Sunday. They said, you need to come to Franklin on Sunday. We got a tournament. I said, no, y'all need to go to Franklin on Sunday. I'm going to church. Yeah, well, we need to go to Georgia. We got a tournament. And, you know, it's going to help her. It's going to help her. She got a lot of trophies at home, but we ain't going to get none on Sunday. We're going to praise the Lord on Sunday. Amen? Amen? We need to get back to standing up for the Lord. Amen? Amen? We are called to evangelize the world. We are called. Here, they need to see Jesus in flesh. See, Jesus is in heaven. See, Jesus don't have no hands but your hands. Jesus don't have no feet but your feet. So guess what? People need to see Jesus in human flesh. I mean, we need to reconcile the world back to the Lord. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. By the way, I said it last night, I said it again. The gospel ought to be transparent. It shouldn't matter what color your skin is. If you're under the word of God, it ought to be the same. Amen? We ought to receive. Matter of fact, the preacher told me last night, he said, man, I'm in Baltimore and I got all kind of people in my church. I got some Jamaicans. I got some Caucasians. I got some Europeans. He said, and it's rough. I say it's rough because they don't receive the gospel. The gospel here is there are no race that's superior to any other race. We all level at the cross. Amen? So guess what? When the gospel is preached, they'll all get right with the Lord. Amen? So we're a new creature in Christ. We need to hold up the blood-stained banner. We need to talk about God's mercy and love. We need to talk about God's peace. And matter of fact, we need to make the gospel simple. See, so many people make the gospel so hard that people don't want to get saved. Well, I can't get saved because I can't go to church every Sunday. I can't get saved because I can't keep the law. I can't get saved because I can't. Let me tell you, the gospel is not hard. All you have to do is receive the Lord and he'll change you. Amen. By the way, going to church on Sunday don't make you a spirit Christian because your heart needs to be right. Amen. But now you ought to go to church. But some people get it mixed up like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, I fast 3 times a day. I give my tithes. I pray. And Jesus looked down at the publican and said, that publican's prayer, I'm not even listening to you. Because they were self, we talked about it in Sunday school, righteous. Amen? We need to understand that. So people need to see God. We need to make the God so simple that people understand it. 2 Corinthians 6 say that we, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive the grace of God. When I talk to people, the first thing I always say is that, you know, the Lord loves you. Have you thought about it? Giving your life to the Lord? Well, I thought about it. Well, you don't have to think that much. You can do it right now. I heard a preacher said that they had a tent service, and they had a tent all week. And right when they were taking down the tent, a guy came up while they were pulling the poles up and said, man, I was going to come to serve to get saved. And I'm sorry, y'all taking the tent down. He said, you can get saved right now. you don't need a tent to get saved. Well, I'm going to come to church Sunday. He said, well, don't wait till Sunday. You might not make it Sunday. Yeah, I don't know what y'all know the story of Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was in Chicago, and they had the Great Chicago Fire. Right. And there were some people that was going to wait, and Dwight L. Moody started saying, today is the day you need to repent and be saved. And he said that one Sunday that he said, I'll just wait and tell them next Sunday. He said they had the fire and God put them in his heart every Sunday. Tell them to get saved then. You ain't got to wait till you go home. You ain't got to wait till next week. You ain't got to wait till next Sunday. If you want to get right, you can today. I was at UTC teaching one time, a Bible study, and I was going around the campus telling people I was teaching the book of Romans, and I met a young man, and he said, preacher, I done messed my life up. I said, what you messed a lot? He said, I used to be on fire. Well, I said, I understand. He said, but I said, well, guess what? You can get it right now. I got a girl pregnant. We just talked about that in Sunday school. God forgive. Amen? He said, but I was so excited for the Lord. I said, you still can be. Oh, let me help you out. David committed murder. David committed adultery. But yet David was a man after God's own heart. David said to the Lord, Lord, I sinned against heaven and thee alone. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And David repented and God turned around and said, I'm going to use you again. Don't ever think you're through with the Lord. God can still use you. That's why I don't give up people. So when you're out talking to people and they get like, I can't go to church because I'm messed up. Yeah, you can. God can still save you. God can still clean you up. Amen. We was talking about Jesus calling the fishermen. Y'all know a fisherman do. You don't clean the fish before you catch them. You catch them with all the dirt and all the mark, and then God takes the scales off them. God cleans them up. So when they come into the house of the Lord, I don't care if they come with tattoos all up their neck and like the football players or the basketball players. And my grandson was all upset. He said, Granddad, I don't understand. Why is it that all these athletes, they doing great and they got Rolls Royce and they got millions. And here I am, a little Christian boy, and I'm trying to live for the Lord and nobody want to be my friend. And they don't like me because I tell on them. And I say, son, you need to understand, this there heaven right here, you living for the Lord, like the song said, will pay off after a while. Now it's hard for a young boy to see that. Because here is a young boy, and he said, I'm the only Christian. Everybody don't want to be my friend. Because the other boys want to do some mischievous thing. My wife said, now you don't talk enough about my family. Okay, I'm done with that. All right, so anyway, we need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number one, we're a new creature. Point number two, I'm an ambassador, point number two, old things are what?
Passed away.
I didn't hear that. Old things are what?
Passed away.
Oh, come on now. You mean when you get saved, you got to stop doing some of them things you used to? Yeah, that's right. The people used to say it like this. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little tongue. There's some things that you used to say before you got saved, you don't say no more. Let me help you out. They call profanity. You cuss people out, you don't do that no more. God clean your mouth up. Matter of fact, God took that serpent when Isaiah said, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And then he said, but my man, unclean lips. I dwell among people unclean. And the servant flew from the altar and took a hot coal from the altar of God and touched his lips and cleaned them up. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
Places that you used to go, you don't go no more. Amen. Well, what you saying, preacher? Let me just break it down to you. You know how you used to go to happy hour. Oh, yeah, y'all remember that day, do you? You used to go to the club. You used to go to the hangout. You can't go there no more because you're a new creature. Those are old things. Let me just bring it back to the old school and back to the new school. In the old school, they had a little black book. They put everybody's phone on me. Oh, y'all know double, right? You need to get rid of that old black book. In the new school, they put your in the phone now. They put everybody's number in the phone. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. So guess what? Those things that you used to do, you need to stop doing them. I say this to everybody. My wife can go through my phone. She can go through my computer. She can go through everything. I don't have to have no password. I don't have to have nothing secretive. I mean, y'all come today and they say, he can't look at my phone. She can't look at my phone. Why not? Y'all married. What's going on? You got some secret? We need to, that old stuff need to go away. I know a guy, he married and he got on Facebook and ran across one of his old high school girlfriends. Oh, yeah, y'all want me to pray, though. And so she texted him, or she sent him, messaged him and say, I ain't seen you in 30 years. Can we have lunch together? And so he said to himself, he said, well, you know, this ain't nothing innocent. I mean, this ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, I did know her 30 years ago, and, you know, and we just gonna have a cup of coffee. You know, and we're going to a restaurant, but he didn't tell his wife. Now, let me tell you, old stuff needs to stop. It just so happened that God had a Christian buddy accountability partner in his life. And he told him, say, you know, one of my old girlfriends in high school messaged me. She wanted to meet me. He said, you tell her no. Not only do you tell her no, tell her you'll bring your wife. If she want to meet you, let her meet you and the wife together. Oh, I just want to see how you doing. No, you don't want to see how I'm doing. That old stuff needs to stop. Amen? The Bible says we knew Christ. The ministry, God has called us, the old stuff. And then we need to learn how to separate. Separate from sin. Now, I want y'all to get this right. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. So sometimes we don't know how to separate. You separate from sin that will take you down. See, there are a lot of sin that you can't. Now, let me tell you, some of us know, and I don't know anything about your life, but you know what your vice was before you got saved. Now, some people used to drink a little bit. Oh, I want me to preach a little bit. So you used to drink a little bit. You don't need to be around folk drinking. Because you got a weakness in that area. Oh, want me to preach a little bit. Some folks used to be around, I don't know how I need to say this, sneaking around. Preach, preacher. So guess what? If you got a problem with that.
Yes, sir.
My sister told me one time, said she met this guy. He was a Christian. And He kept calling her and calling her. And she said, why you keep calling me all the time? He said, well, you a Christian? I'm a Christian. And then she said, he finally told her, you know, before I got saved, I had a weakness with women. She said, you still got a weakness with women. You don't need me calling me. Okay, you a Christian. You know, so if you got a weakness, you need to not fall in that weakness. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach that morning, do you? Some things you don't say. The Bible say, avoid the appearance of evil. So if you got an area that you know you may be a little weak in, I wouldn't go that way. you go that way. Back to this Facebook. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching on Facebook. You know, on Facebook, you know, people message you. And I've had people that message me, I don't even know. You know what I'm talking about? Who is that? And then I go to their website and they be all decked out, have on a bikini and everything. You know. And I'm saying, who in the world is this? But I'm saying, you need to be very careful. You need to be very careful. Matter of fact, these are, I shouldn't preach on them. I'm going to preach on it anyway. These matching, they got these dating services where you meet single people online. Y'all mean preach, dude. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. So you need to be very careful what you do. So I'm saying this year, instead of taking advice and taking a chance on it, matter of fact, they just found this girl in Birmingham. She was dead. She met these two men at a bar. Y'all heard about it, right? And when she met the men at a bar, she texts her friend and say, I'm going somewhere. I don't even know who they are. What? I don't feel safe. Now, why would you go in the car with two men at a bar and you don't even feel safe? She texts her friend recently that I don't feel safe. They just found a body. I'm saying, old stuff. Let me tell you, don't go to these bars. Don't hang out with people you don't know. Matter of fact, be very careful. You know, my daughter don't like me in prison, but I say, look, don't even meet people in certain places. Meet them in a public place. Don't have people come to your house. Look, be very careful. These old things need to pass away, amen? Amen. We should separate ourselves from people that will contaminate us. You heard? No, I ain't got point three yet. One bad apple. Do what? Run a whole lot. You say, well, it ain't going to affect me. It'll affect you. You get around bad people, it'll affect you. Matter of fact, the Bible says evil communication corrupt good man. You around people cussing folks out all night, and that's what can slip out of your mouth because you've been around them too long. You can't be around some people you have to separate from. You can't continue to be around this mess that's going on, this reverie, this disobedience. You know, one thing I've learned so much is that I understand. And y'all don't want me to preach this because I don't mean to preach it. I understand that God puts people in office and God takes people out of office. But I'm not going to get on badging people. God is still sovereign and he still works things out. Amen? So we need to learn how to separate from certain things that cause certain problems. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 6:16, for ye are the temple of the living God. It refers to you, your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. See, God lives in you. So everywhere you go, you take Jesus with you. Amen? So you got to learn how to separate. You have the nature of God. So you ought to start serving the character of God. So you ought to learn how to take a stand. Let me just say this, and you probably heard it. The number one word on Google search for 2019, the number one word on Google search was sex, S-E-X. So you can tell where the world is in. So if that's the number one word search, then you got to learn how to separate from people. Amen? The number two word on Google search for 2019 was God, little G-O-D, but they weren't looking for the God of the Bible. They were looking for a God of their own making. See, there's a lot of churches that got a God of who they want. You say, that ain't in the Bible. My preachers don't believe that. Well, what did the Bible say? My preachers say, well, we can do what I want to do. What did the Bible say? See, we're in a situation where people want to, here it is, feel good. They want the power and the prestige. They don't want the real God of the Bible. They don't want the real demands. They don't want the real God that's saying do's and don'ts. That's why people say, I don't like Christianity, because you got a lot of thou shall not, thou shall not, thou shall not. It also got a lot of thou shall. Let me tell you. Yeah, I shouldn't do a lot of things, but there's a lot of things I can do. I was telling you about the other time, I'm a preacher, and I told you about in D.C., and I was playing basketball and playing shooting pool and playing ping pong. They thought I wasn't supposed to be doing it because I was a preacher. What I got to do with anything? When I was the youth pastor, I used to take the kids canoeing and mountain climbing. And I used to take the kids, you can enjoy life. But there are certain things that I should not do because they are not a testimony for Jesus Christ. Amen? So the Bible talks about that. They don't want the real God. We need to separate from things that will harm our body. Amen? I tell you this, and I shouldn't say it, but I say it anyway. I had just got saved, and I went to a fraternity meeting, and they were passing a cup of liquor around, and I said, this is my last time coming, folks. I'm done. I'm not drinking from that cup. And they felt so bad that they said, okay, because one brother, Jeter, is offended, we're going to stop doing it. But you have to take a stand. Now, I don't know where y'all remember that, but when we grew up in the old school, we used to pass the ball around. Y'all remember them days? Well, we didn't care. Matter of fact, we didn't care about hygiene back then. You have a bag of liquor, you drank, hey, hit it, man. And everybody did that. That was wrong. Amen? Now today we got all this cleansing and hand sanitizer and doing it. But back then it didn't matter. We drunk from the same cup. We did it. As a matter of fact, let me preach a little bit. They used to pass the weed. Oh, no matter when you preach, they pass the hit to you. And you suck on the same one somebody else sucked on. Oh, y'all, I know I'm the only one. I know I'm the only ones in the world. I know I'm the only one. But you need to stop all that. It's not good. Amen?
Don't hide your BC days.
God saw it. So we need to learn how to separate. Separate from all that stuff. We need to learn how, and by the way, we don't need to mess with it. A lot of times, people get caught up in the physical, but there's some things that can harm the spiritual, the mental part. There's some things that you don't need to put in your mind. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach on this. I get in trouble on this. That TV, that Plaza TV you got, it got a lot of wicked stuff on it. You need to learn how to discern what to and what not to watch. That's why they have a remote. When they get in that ungodly, click, off. We're not watching. I remember one time my kids were growing up, and we was watching Prince of Bel-Air. And I said, well, maybe that's a good prince, Will Smith. As soon as I got on there, he started to cuss, and I said, click, that's it. You ain't watching that. Now, I know you don't like to hear that, Leave it to Beaver or Andy Griffith, but they were good movies back then. Even I Love Lucy. You never seen them kiss on broad daylight. You never seen them get in the bed. They were husband and wife. Today, prime time, when the kids get out of school, they come cut on the TV and took their clothes off. We need to be careful. By the way, for those of you that are raising kids, I see you back there, Jameson. You need to monitor what they see. You need to monitor their computers. They cell phone. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. The kid could be innocent, but type in something and something up or come on his page, and it's filthy. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but it's called subliminal messages. Once that image in their mind, it's hard to get it out. It's hard to get out. So we need to be very careful in the things that we do. Amen? And then you don't need to offend your weaker brother. Some of us may be strong in certain areas, but the Bible say, if meat offends my brother, I will not eat meat as long as the world stands, and at least I offend him. Amen? So, some of you say, well, preacher, you don't believe in drinking wine. I don't see nothing wrong with one cup of wine. Let me tell you, if you offend somebody, you ought not drink it. Because somebody, they're going to be offended. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm a preacher. And a lot of people look to my life. What you think God would be saying? Now, Gina, you down there stumbling all them folks? I call you to be a preacher, they need some example, and you're making a mockery of my name. So I have to be very careful in everything that I do because I want to honor the Lord. Amen? And you need to be like that. Certain things you cannot do. Amen? So we don't need to stumble our weaker brother, and we don't need to offense be offensive to our conscience. Last point. Point number one, we're an ambassador. Point number two, we need to separate from the evil and from the sin and from the things that are unclean. And then the last point is, new creature, new me, but the same old God. God never changed. God in Malachi 3:6 said, I am the Lord, I change not. God say, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. I want y'all to hear me well. God has not changed his mind about sin. The Supreme Court, the President of the United States, the Congressman can license anything, but God hadn't changed. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He ain't gonna change. God said, I don't care what you do. You can, you know, it used to be what they call adultery. Now they didn't clean it up. It's having an affair. Everything, they done cleaned it up. Now, let me tell you, to God, it's still sin. God ain't changed his mind. He's not going to change. This came up last night. My wife didn't know she was preaching my message. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet and sweet bitter. Let me tell you, there's some people you'll say, this wrong, that ain't nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? I don't see nothing wrong with that. They're calling evil good. I said, well, what does the Bible say? Oh, that's your interpretation. That ain't my interpretation. Sin is sin. God destroyed cities. He destroyed nations. He destroyed the Canaanites. He destroyed all them for sin. God still hates sin. Matter of fact, he hated so bad that when Adam sinned, he had to kick him out of the garden. He hated so bad that when Jesus died on Calvary, he turned his back because Jesus became the sin price for the whole world. God cannot look on sin. We need to be trying. God ain't going to change on sin. We can change the laws. You know, there was a time when, y'all knew about it. There was a time when alcohol was illegal. Amen. Then they legalized it. Y'all want me to preach a little bit? We got alcohol liquor stores on every corner. But let me help you out. God has not changed. One of the number one problem in families is alcohol. When they look at women, all y'all that are dealing with women abuse, all y'all dealing with all these women getting beaten down at home, a lot of time it's drug or alcohol related. Preach, preacher. Is it not? Here we are, y'all, 2020, 2019. Well, everybody's smoking marijuana. Why don't we just legalize it? God has not changed. Marijuana is still dangerous and destructive. Look at how many people that be on marijuana that forget what they're doing on their job. Oh, you said marijuana? You need to check out. Do some study on marijuana. See how many people that messed up. Well, we could do what? We can make it medical in marijuana. You know, we do everything. We clean up everything for God. Let me tell you, God has not changed. Matter of fact, opium, oh, y'all don't mean to preach to you. Heroin, matter of fact, oh, y'all just heard it. I just saw it like my wife said on the internet. Bobby Brown's daughter, oh, y'all mean to preach a little bit? Died of what? Drugs and so forth. Whitney Houston, her mama. Oh, y'all, let me do this public information, y'all. So don't get on me. Died of what? Drugs. Now the boyfriend. Oh, did y'all hear about it? When I read in the past, I said, 30 years old? 30 years young? And then they said he was strung out on heroin. I say, Lord, have mercy. Somebody need to tell people that drugs kill. God not changed his mind. Sin is sin. God don't believe in liquor. He don't believe in alcohol. He don't believe in drugs. And now we're on the same sex thing. God has not changed. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, or not Sarah and Sarah. He created Adam and Eve. God is not going to change. Oh, yeah, don't say nothing in the Bible that God is against homosexuals. What? Yeah, what Bible you reading? It's in Leviticus and it's in Romans. It said God gave them up. Gave them a reprobate mind. That they did those things unseemly. Men with men and women. God gave them up. God ain't going to change. A new you, a new me, but the same God. God ain't going to change. Now, let me give you the good part. Not only is God not going to change his mind on sin, he's not going to change his mind on love. Amen. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him, what? Shall not perish. Now we preach a lot on God, this, but God also loves people. God don't want the drug dealer to be doing drugs. God don't want the prostitute to sell nobody. Matter of fact, we just talked about the woman with the alabaster box. She was a woman of ill repute. She came to the house, and the Bible says she let her hair down, and she washed Jesus' feet with her tail. She was broken. That tell me God loved her. God ain't going to change his mind. If we get the world, we was just talking about that last night. If we get the young Afro-American boys to realize God loved them, then they wouldn't have to get in no gangs to get some love, family love. They wouldn't have to get in no gangs. Matter of fact, we saw it in the movie. The young boy was trying to go play football. Y'all remember the story. He was training the football. But he had three buddies in the gangs.
We didn't see that.
Yeah, you did. You remember the three guys came and told him that they're going to. Yeah, but you saw where the three guys came and they was going to break in the house and get the $1 million? Okay, so you saw that. But I want y'all to hear me well. Those three boys that was in the gang, God loved them too. All he want them to do is to turn. You didn't see the rest of the story, but I'm going to give it to you. The young boy who got out of the game, he turned. And one day he got that knock on the door. And he said, I'm coach from Wichita State looking for a quarterback. And the old grandmama almost fell out. She said, I told you God had a ram in the bush. So if we turn, God love is still love. Matter of fact, the Bible says like this, God is love. The Bible says like this, for he first loved us. See, it wasn't that you love God. God loved you. Oh, think about it. When you were doing your dirt, when you were slipping and sliding in sin, God was standing on, the Bible say, Romans 5:8, when we were yet in sin, Christ did what? Died for us. He ain't changed his mind. He still loved the world. Matter of fact, Jesus stood at Jerusalem with his arms out and said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, would I have taken you as a mother hen does a chick, but you would not. He cried. He wept over the city. I want to tell you, if you love God this year, we saw it last night. She started crying about the condition of this world. If you love God, you'll cry when you see all the evil going on. Amen. We just talked about that girl getting killed. Last week we talked about Jerry Cousin that they cut her head off. Let me tell you, it breaks your heart when you see all this evil going on. Matter of fact, you can't pick up the newspaper. You can't get on the internet with somebody done been carjacked, somebody done been kidnapped. They always got a child on there that's said missing. You know, I got this thing on my phone. Alert, alert. You know how the alert come in? And it's always something sad. And I'm like, who wants to get a little child? What in the world are you kidnapping a little child for? But then they have them on Facebook now where they have people go and you see them in broad daylight snatching children. God still loves them. Let me preach a little bit on the military. God loves the people in Iraq, but they need to turn. God loves the people in Afghanistan. God even loved Kim over in North Korea, but he needs to turn. See, God hadn't changed his mind. I got a couple examples in the scriptures. I'm done. God said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to what? Forgive us our sins. And do what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The only person I can think of was the great Apostle Paul. See, Apostle Paul was terrorizing the Christian. The Bible says he was breathing out threatening. He was locking anybody up that was in the way, which was the Christian. And Paul was so mean and hateful, he would just say, if you call on Jesus, you'll blaspheme. If you call on Jesus, you break the Sabbath, you'll blaspheme. But on the road to Damascus, y'all know the story. He was on that old mule or on that donkey or whatever. And the light in the broad daylight, it's called eclipse, shone from heaven and knocked him down. Y'all know the story. And when he knocked him down, Paul could barely see. He looked up and he saw that light. And he saw that. He said, who art thou, Lord? This is a wicked man now. He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. He said, Saul, I know you think you're doing right, but it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What he was saying, Paul, you're on the wrong side. You need to get on my side. And then he made that statement that we all ought to make this year 2020. Hear my Lord, use me. Lord, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? And the Bible say he got up and was blinded. Y'all know the story. For 3 days, Ananias came and put his hand on the scales, fell off his eye. Paul went and got baptized. And the Bible says straightway he went into the synagogue and began to reason with them that this Jesus that we've been studying about in the scripture, this Jesus that the Old Testament talk about, this Jesus that's in the new, he's the same one that died on the cross. This Jesus, he is Messiah. He is Christ. He saved me, a wretched man. I'm the least of the least. I'm the last of the least. But I'm telling today that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And if you receive him, you'll have eternal life. Paul got back. Matter of fact, there ain't been nobody as faithful as Jesus but Paul. Paul is what we call a sold out. Paul's, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ living in me. In the life that I live now, I live in the flesh of the one who saved me and gave love. Paul was sold out for Christ. Paul told Peter, you need to stop it. Trying to get me in the law. You didn't eat that ham hole, but you need to stop it. Paul was straight up. This year, 2020, let's be on fire for the Lord. Let's tell a lost and dying world about Christ. My wife said that the church ought to be filled up. The church can't be filled up until sheep win other sheep. So your job is to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We just talk about the kids. The kids need to be here because their parents need to get saved. But a lot of times we may have to get a bus. We may have to bring the kids in because sometimes God used a limb to get the tree. Amen. So let's this year be about our Father's business. Would you bow your heads?